article this morning, and it's in the bulletin if you'd like to read along with me. It's right underneath the announcements, and it was written by Greg Elmquist. This will be our devotional for this morning, and he titles his article, Love and Justice. Someone may ask, how could a loving God send someone to hell? And the answer is this. God has never, nor will he ever, send anyone he loves to hell. The problem with that question is twofold. First, it assumes God loves everyone, and that is simply not true. There is no sense in which God loves everyone. His love is perfectly holy, eternal, and it's immutable. He says, I am the Lord and I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. You can read that in Malachi 3:6. He says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. That's in Jeremiah 31:3. His love is particular for his elect. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. That's in Romans 9:13. Most important, his love is only found in Christ. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's in Romans 8:39. The second problem with that question is that it ignores God's justice. Truth is, a loving God could never send someone to hell. But a just God will and must. He will by no means clear the guilty, as we read in Exodus 34:7. His justice must be satisfied, and herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 4:10. Will you bow with me, please? Lord and Savior, we praise you and thank you for this small little glimpse, this small little understanding of what the love of God for his people means. What a precious thing to learn more and more of each and every day. I'm truly convinced, Father, that this is why our brother and sister, not just Eddie and Sarah at this time, but Brother Don Fortner, wasn't that long ago that we saw his passing and the wonderful testimony that he and his wife Shelby gave. So many brothers and sisters in Christ have given this same testimony. And I could go on for a long time listing off all the names. Just to say a few. Juanita Gotina and her husband Mike. Joyce Deep. What joy. What joy we saw and that we see in the brothers and sisters in Christ. As the day comes. And we know, Lord, that this joy that we see is a joy that has only come from you. The joy of knowing the love that you have for your people, that you loved us so much you laid down your life for us. And we praise you and thank you. Lord, as I go into your word, give me the strength and the unction to speak boldly. Boldly of your love for your people. In my Savior's name, Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen. Once again, we look into the letter that Paul wrote to the saints at Philippi, this letter of appreciation. This letter that Paul wrote in response to what the saints at Philippi had done, they had sent supplies, they had sent financial support, they had sent a brother in Christ to go and tend to the needs of Paul as he was under house arrest for preaching the gospel. You may recall that these loving saints, and Paul was responding to them and telling them how much he loved them for their love for Christ, and that these gifts were because of their love for Christ. Paul, out of love, I lost my place. One moment. Paul was responding to their love by expressing his love for them in our great Savior who gives us all things. You see, God's people understand this, that all blessings, spiritual and carnal, come from and through the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives His people everything. All that we have is His. And if He's given us everything, why do we continue to boast? And I say we because I do the same thing. Folks, this love that we just read about in the article a moment ago in the devotional. In Romans 8:32, we read this: He that spared not His own Son. Let that sink in. God Almighty. We get this small little inkling of what this love is because, I mean, we love our family, right? Yes. We love our brothers and sisters. Yes. Pastor Gene tells me every day I talk to him, you tell those people at Rescue how much I love you. He loves us. We get this very small inkling of what that is. Just that we can see a drop of what God's mercy is to His people, because we've all sinned and deserve His wrath. Yet He has taken our wrath for us upon Himself. Oh, the wonder of His love for us. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Is that not what the Word of Truth says? Everything. Not too long ago I made this statement, and it bears repeating. Isn't it just a blow your mind thing to understand that everything that has happened before you and I walk this earth, everything that has happened all throughout history, is exactly so that you and I will be right here this very day, so that John Reeves would come to this church one day, sit in that pew right there next to you, Roger, and sit on the edge of my chair and not even realize. It took Shirley. Shirley went like this. She went, bam! What you're doing? What are you talking about? You're sitting on the edge of your chair. You've been that way for an hour. Shirley knew me well. She knew that I had grown up going to church. And she knew that I was the guy sitting in the back sleeping all the time, along with my brother and sisters. Oh, thank the Lord, that those weren't the days when they would walk around with a little stick and whack you on the back of the head, you know. Of course, Dad would find out about it later, and we'd get whacked for it one way or the other. But Everything in time has happened exactly when it should, so that you and I would be here this very day. Yeah. Hearing our Lord again, just as we heard last Sunday, just as we've heard a couple of times over the week, maybe if we've listened to a sermon or two. Everything. He laid down His life for us. Why would He not give us all things. These gifts provided by the chosen of God, these chosen saints at Philippi, were gifts of love. They were of love for this one who was under great persecution for speaking the word of truth, for preaching Christ in Him crucified. Do you realize that's all Paul was doing? He was going around telling about Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh. Jesus Christ, who was born of a virgin, perfect in every way. He was going about telling the people, God loves a people that He sent His only begotten Son so that they would be saved. And that's exactly what He did. His name will be called Jesus, for He shall save His people. Paul was preaching the word of truth. Wicked hands persecuted and hung our Savior on the cross, but it was by the determinate counsel of God Almighty that it be done. Amen. By His stripes, you and I are healed.
Yes.
Oh. That's such great news to this sinner. Paul was preaching about Christ and Him crucified and risen. Risen again. Death could not hold Him. He's God Almighty. And it was all planned out exactly and happened exactly how He purposed it to happen. And now He sits on His throne in heaven, working all things out according to His will. And Paul was thrown in prison for that very thing. For teaching and preaching that our Lord sits on the throne of all glory. Don't be stealing no glory from the Lord. Don't be trying to tell the Lord how you're helping Him by doing something. Don't be coming to the Lord with, well, I fed the poor today. I had 12 of them. Oh, wait a minute, didn't count that right. 3. And I fed them. And I told them about a Jesus who's trying to do something because, Lord, you know, you tried to save us, but we just won't let you. No, that's not what Paul taught at all. He's taught that Jesus Christ saved His people.
Yes.
That's a promise that you and I can stand on with surety. It's the rock. It's the rock that we walk through this life on. These wonderful saints in Philippi, they love Paul for the same reason all who know God love each other, because Christ first loved us.
Yes.
In 1 Peter 3, verse 8, we read this, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Look with me, if you would, at Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 once again. If there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The title for today's message is this: This Mind Be in You.
Pastor,
what is
Philippians what?
That was Philippians 2, verses 1 through 5.
Thank you. Verse
What mind is Paul and Peter speaking of? Well, in order for us to truly understand what these men were speaking of, we must first understand the natural mind. You see, people come into this world thinking that they're okay. I'm not such a bad person. I've not killed anybody. I've thought about it, but I haven't done it yet. Do you know, all it takes is to think about a sin and you've committed it.
Yeah.
Folks, sin is not what we do. It's what we are. And I need to be told this over and over and over again, because it doesn't take long for John Reeves to start thinking of himself up here when John Reeves is really, really down there. To understand what these men are speaking of, we must understand the natural mind, the mind that we are all born with, the mind that we came into this world with, the mind that we received from the first man to ever walk this earth, our father, Adam, the one who sinned with his eyes wide open. And believe it or not, that's exactly how you and I sin. With our eyes wide open. There's no accident that I might think a certain thought. That's the way I am. Adam sinned willingly. He chose not to let his wife perish alone. And his choice, in a small respect, it was to give himself for the one he loved. And in that way, he is a small picture, yes, of one who loved us and gave himself for us. Yet Christ, when he did the very same thing as God in the flesh, and being such his sacrifice, actually did save the people for himself. Adam didn't save anybody. There was no power in Adam. His blood was tainted with sin. From that moment on, he died spiritually. And that's exactly how all people come into this world, dead in trespasses and sin. Sin entered into the world, and all men came into this world with sin imputed to them from our daddy Adam. For we were born in sin, born of the seed of Adam, corrupted, stained, polluted from head to toe. Job is a picture of all men who walk this earth. He had leprosy, boils, disease from the top of his head. The word, I remember somebody had preached on this once, that the actual Hebrew word was from the very point, the highest point of the head, to the very lowest point of his body was covered with boils. That's what sin is to mankind. That's what sin is to you and I. Because of this sin, the whole earth and all that is in it is cursed. Dead in trespasses and sin, spiritually dead. It's enmity to the things of God, separated into eternity from the holiness of the Creator. Now turn, if you would, to the book of John, chapter 3. Mark your place there in Philippians if you haven't done that already, because we'll come back to it in a moment. Excuse me. We all walked in darkness with no desire for the light. Every single one of us loved the darkness that we walked in. Our minds could not comprehend the light of the world. Oh, we may have heard about a Jesus, but we had no desire for the true Son of the living God, the Christ of Scriptures. Everybody comes into this world wanting some kind of a Savior. God has placed it on our hearts to know that we have sinned against God. That's why you have all these different religions throughout all these difference of times. People have come up with all kinds of ways that they think they could save themselves. If I just worship the tree, or maybe if I just worship the wolf that runs back and forth, or maybe if I just worship How about if I just sacrifice one of my little ones?
Yeah.
You know, or how about if I worship myself?
Yeah.
How about if I just come down to the front of the aisle and decide that I will follow somebody? We've all heard about the little Jesus in the world who is trying to do something. And we were all at one time with absolutely no desire for the Son, for the true Son of the living God, the Christ of Scriptures. You might ask, well, what do you mean, John? Have you ever heard anyone say, I've always loved the Lord? I was saved when I was a little child. I was a little one when I began to love the Lord. Folks, I'm telling you that that's not what God's Word says at all. In fact, God's Word says something quite different. In Jeremiah 17:9, we read this. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's God's Word. Or how about John 8:44? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts or the desires of your father ye will do. Or how about Romans 3:11? There is none that seeketh after God. One more for that. John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. In Ephesians 2:1, we read this. And you, writing to the Ephesians, Paul says, and you hath he quickened. Hath he given life. Hath he brought out of death. And you, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our lifestyle, our presence, in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature. That's the mind that we had when we came into this world, our natural mind. We were by nature children of wrath, even as others. You see the picture being painted here? This is what we were. Yet God has loved a people from before the beginning of time, before anything was ever created. He didn't leave everyone to that death that they were in. You see the mercy of God for you and I? Yeah. Huh. Woo. I never get tired of talking about His mercy and love for me. How about you?
Well, amen.
How about you? Look at verses 19 through 20 of John chapter 3. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Now remember, the Lord just said that I am the light and the way and the truth. And He says that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. That means that we won't come to the Lord Jesus Christ because we would prefer a God of our own making. We would prefer something else as a God. We don't want one who's going to rule over us. We lived all of our lives saying, no, that one who rules over everything is not going to be my God. I'll have this little God over here and I can control and manipulate him the way I want him to. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. All are born dead in trespasses and sin, spiritually dead. Lazarus laid in the darkness of that tomb. Think about that. Wrapped in his clothing. You know, they didn't just take him in there and lay the body down. No, they put oil on him. They did all that stuff. They put a wrap around him. And the Lord God Almighty in the flesh said, Lazarus, come forth. Did he sit up and think about it for a minute or two? No. No. And neither does any of God's people. We may not understand it. We may not understand the true calling of God Almighty to us. But His call is effectual. And it's irresistible. He makes us willing in the day of His love. We do come willingly. But it's only because He's made us willing.
Right.
Oh, the wonders and love. I'll have that one, and that one will not get away. This one is mine. The blood I shed on the cross is for that one right there, and nothing can take him out of my Father's hand. Lazarus was dead. He was so dead, he began to stink. There was no life in him. And that's a picture of our minds that we come into this world with. The very mind that we are all born with. How do I get Pastor, I want this mind. I want to know the love that you know. How can I get this mind? How can this mind be in me as it is in you? Turn over to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Speaking about these verses with our brother Daryl. Daryl's going to have a moment to speak in a eulogy for a friend of the family who has passed on. I ask for your prayers for Daryl as he stands before those folks. We've looked at some verses, and this was one of those verses. What do you tell somebody who's been going to church for years, thinking that they're saved, thinking that I've been following Christ for a long time? How can you tell me I'm not saved? What do you tell somebody when they've heard about a different Jesus? You tell them that they're saved through the preaching of Christ and Him crucified. The exact same way you and I were saved. We were brought to know the Lord through the preaching of His word. How can this mind that I've been speaking about, this mind of knowing who the Lord Jesus Christ is, how can I know this mind? Through the preaching of His word. Look at verses 11 through 15 with me. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him.
Amen.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? If you're not hearing, if you're not hearing about the Lord who works all things out according to His word, according to His counsel, well, how are you going to believe in Him? Mike's got, and I don't mean to give away what you've already got, Mike. I know it's going to go out here soon. He's got, you know, he's got these little panels called Free Willard that he puts a message, short little simple messages, something to hopefully point us to the gospel. And his latest one just nails it. Just nails it. If your God is trying, your preacher is lying.
Oh.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
If the man standing before you is talking about somebody who's trying to do something, they're not talking about God.
Right.
They're not talking about the true and living God, Jesus Christ, my Savior.
Right.
How are you going to call on him in whom you have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? Back in our text in Philippians chapter 2, Paul, a preacher of the true and living God, he prays for these dear saints, and his prayer is this: may this mind be in you. What mind? The mind that Christ is God Almighty in the flesh. Look at verses 6 and 7. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. God Almighty became flesh. The Word was manifest in the flesh. He was born of a virgin, not of that seed of Adam, but of the seed of the Spirit, perfect and holy in every way. Why is that important? Because the sacrifice that went to that cross must be perfect. He who knew no sin must have been made sin so that you and I could be made righteous. If we're not righteous, we can't be in the presence of God Almighty. He is so holy. So holy, we cannot be in his presence with one inkling of sin. But yet all of our sins, all of the sins of God's chosen elect, were laid upon him. He thought it not robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Paul preached this: Christ Jesus is God in the flesh. He preached that Christ paid the price for sin for his chosen people. Look at verses 8. And being found in a fashion as a man. You see, the Lord had to be flesh in order to die. The Spirit of God could not die. He had to become flesh so that he could go to that cross and be killed. To be hung on that cross. Some people say, well, you know, God just had to think about it in the past, and that should have been all there was. No. The justice of God had to be met. Sin had to be paid for. He, our Lord and Savior, was made a curse. The very curse that you and I deserve, the very curse that you and I have earned. He bore our sins in his own body. He who knew no sin. He who walked perfectly. He who did everything to satisfy the Father. Oh, Paul preached Christ and him crucified. But that's not where it stopped. No, Paul continued on with his message. Christ arose. Death could not hold him. Look at verses 9 of the same chapter 2. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of the things in heaven and the things of the earth. He sits on his throne this very day, working all things out according to his will. This one is mine. That one is mine. He goes through and not... He will not return until every single one of his chosen children have come to him. There will be no empty seats in heaven. You see, if our Lord could lose just one, could you truly call him God? No, that would be that same weak thing that other people are talking about. if you'll just come to the front of the aisle and accept him in your heart. If you'll pray this little prayer. Or if you'll get in this tub of water and be baptized. Or if you'll come to the table. If you'll do this or if you'll do that. No. If God could lose one, he would not be called God. Paul was preaching that all the glory, and you see, this is what the churches of today are stealing from our Lord. By saying that it is something you have done, you're stealing the glory from the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jews of that day, they hated that. What do you mean? How dare you say that? Look at all the stuff I do. I go out into the marketplace and I show everybody how pompous I am by praying aloud so they can hear what great prayers I have. I wear the clothes of all the, you know, I got the blood from the sacrifices all over me. How can you say my works are not good? There's only one blood, folks, that ever paid the price of anything, and that's the blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul preached that all the glory belongs to God. Again, look at verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I love giving him all the glory. I try once in a while. I try once in a while to take some for myself. Don't tell me you don't. We all do. Aren't you thankful that he lets us stub our toes sometimes? You're walking through the dark. You're loving that dark. And you forget that there's a chair right out in the middle of the walkway there. And you stub your toe and, that hurts. Can you tell I've experienced that? Well, that's the way our Lord teaches us sometimes. Lets us stub our toes. He'll never let us fall. He'll never let us go back to that pit he took us out of. But we will stub our toes once in a while. And that's because then we'll turn the light on. Then we'll turn Jesus on. And we see everything around us is the truth.
Right.
The truth in our Savior, the Lord. There is only one way to have this mind in you, folks. And that is through the new birth. Through the grace of our great God. Turn once again to the third chapter of John. And while you're turning there, allow me to quote from 1 Peter 1:23, where we read, being born again, not of corruptible seed. See, that's the seed that we were born with in the beginning, the seed of Adam. But of incorruptible. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Are you with me back in John chapter 3? Look at verses 1 through 8. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Here's one of those pompous guys right here. Look at how good I am. You don't think so? Well, look at this. He's saying, came to Jesus by night. He didn't want all those other people to see that he was going to Christ. But yet the Lord was moving in his heart, just as he does all of his people, and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou dost except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot see, you cannot perceive. You can read God's word all you want, but unless the Lord Jesus Christ gives you a new heart, that's why now. And don't tell me you don't know this. You know this just as well as I do. How often do we look at scriptures and we say, that is just so plain. Why can't somebody understand that? Don't we? We do it there Friday night, didn't we? Yeah. Why is it my brother won't understand that? Why is it my sister won't understand that? Because God has not done a work in their heart yet. Grace. Grace. God's grace. Woo! You must be born again to perceive the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter in the second time to his mother's womb and be born? Can you imagine trying to say that to somebody? Is that what you're talking about? How can you do that? Really? See, he's not understanding at all. And our Lord just lays it out plain as can be.
Yeah.
Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Whew! Aren't you glad the wind was blowing your day one day, Polly? Our Lord caused that breeze to come right through and took you out of that darkness you walked in, and now you walk in the light of Jesus Christ. Right, Cheryl? There we go. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Man, it just gets better by the second, doesn't it? Oh, how I pray that this mind be in you. What mind? The mind of who Christ is. This mind of what Christ has done. This mind of where Christ is right now. And that it's a gift from God, knowing by His grace we are saved from the wrath to come. In Romans 9:16 we read this, so it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. In Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 9, we read this, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, hath given us life together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Folks, as a preacher of the true and living God, Christ Jesus the Lord, and in all of glory, it is my prayer that you have this same mind in you. Salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
Our works do nothing. Our decisions do nothing. Paul did all kinds of works, and he thought it all to be dung when the Lord opened his eyes to the truth. But God. But God, as we read in 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who commanded the light. Who is the light? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I pray that that is in your mind. That is the thing that is in your mind. What is the mind of the true child of God? That we rest in Him. We stop trying to earn our way to heaven and we rest in His works. Grace. Grace. God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace. Grace. God's grace that is greater than all my sin. Where is your mind? this day? Is it in your good works? Is it in your decision? If so, then turn from that and rest in Him. What is it our Lord said when He hung on that cross before He gave up the ghost? He said, "It is finished." Is that not good news to a hell-deserving sinner? Rest in Him. And if we do, we can take confidence in this. Philippians 1 verse 6 once again. That He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen.